Our Bible study.
Don't blame it on me. There's other people in the kitchen and they're making noise.
Recording. We're recording.
Okay. Isaiah 54.
When the sky is a bright.
See what you've been missing the last few days? Hopefully this will be the last day that we talk about shame. I say that the last 3 days. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. The problem is that we don't even acknowledge that we have shame, because we even hide it from ourselves. And so the whole mystery of this prophecy with regard to each one of us individually is that we simply have to say to the Father, open us up, make us bare, so that we can be naked and unashamed. Then He will do everything else. But until you, as long as things remain hidden, as long as you protect, then the Holy Spirit won't violate that. So it's all a function of being open. Now, throughout the scriptures, there are two things that are discussed about. Well, Christ says that. I mean, He may present. Paul said that He may present us to the Father as a church or a bride without spot and without wrinkle. And so, let's look at a few of those places that, and if you can understand this most subtle of all of these quote-unquote spots that blemish the garment, the most subtle, the most whatever, some other word, have to do with shame. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to read a few of these that talk about that. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about this before. An aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. And that means you are no longer under the control of anything except God. But we excuse these things because they seem to come upon you automatically. You remember Harry? Well, this just came upon me. And I'm not responsible. The point is that you spend a lifetime hiding things concerning shame. And there's layers and layers and layers of acting to hide it. And so all I'm asking you to do this morning is to pray that we all would open ourselves unashamedly, without apology, that may happen, that he may present this church, this body, these people, each one of us, without spot, blameless. What?
I was thinking about the scripture of people who would rather have the mountain fall on them.
That's right.
Than expose their shame.
That's kind of silly. I remember a point in time in which you were in that position. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, which one
do
you think?
All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee the idea that gain is godliness. That's what the other thing up here. Well, let's go up there. No, you can go back there later. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearance or revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Without spot, unrebukable. Let's go to Hebrews 9. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God? Now what does it mean to purge your conscience from dead works? Anybody have any thoughts? Somehow this blood is going to purge your conscience from dead works in order that you can serve the living God. To purge, again.
It's like you become no more in your own remembrance.
That's right. You have forgotten the defense mechanisms. It's this again, we're back to this matter of just stopping trying to be and just be. Of prophesying, of saying what's there, of letting all hang out before God and man.
Well, you're not, you don't have the past saying, I'm never going to do that again.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, because if it's purged from the dead works, everything that you've done in the past is dead, you know.
So. Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking, as you started talking about this, what came to my mind out of my many thousands of shame, weird things, was just getting divorced, which is actually sort of what brought me to this Bible study.
It's not sort of, it is what is.
Yeah, it's like, well, there was other things involved too, but that was like on my head. And, you know, and that was from my, especially from my family and everything, you know, when I'm coming out of that, that was like pretty much up there with the worst thing you could do, you know. And that was like if I hadn't heard this message, you know, I don't know what I would have done. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do anything. I would have just crawled in the hole. You know, I mean, that's the place that I was at when we started talking. And,
Amen.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And that was just an adult thing, you know.
Yeah.
Not something rooted in the way in the past that I can think of. It was the culture of my family, you know, that made that super shameful to fail in that arena.
Amen. All right. What did I say, though? Hebrews 9. We just read that.
Yeah.
First Peter.
We could stand to be ready.
First Peter chapter 1. This whole thing is in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. It's talking about enduring a trial of faith. And it talks about how the trial of faith is more precious than gold. Faith is as common as air. But it's the trial of faith that is more precious than gold. It's to endure the trial without leaning into your own arm of understanding. Now, I'm going to stop going in sideways here. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now the whole idea... Let's go to Colossians back. We got to go one more. We got to go backwards. I forgot something. Colossians, I don't know yet. Gad, Ronnie, as I said so often, I don't know what we'd do without you. As a model. All right. A bright shining light.
Chapter?
Chapter 1. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by these wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, you got to understand the confession of, we're back to this confessing him, speaking the same thing as him, seeing the same thing as him. Shame is like a, it's like a part of the afterbirth. It has nothing to do with anything of the new creation. All you have to do is let it go. But you have to stop giving it power. What?
He likes it.
I do. Well, when I learn stuff, I like it. I was thinking, when you were talking about the trial of faith, I mean, faith just being as common as error, I mean, true revelation, and just as the spark of what could possibly be seen of God happening through those trials.
Amen. All right. The body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, stop and think. That's that's each of our jobs, that we present each other perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, again, I don't understand why, but for some unknown reason, our minds must be in agreement with this. We must have been transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And the only way our mind can take this is to empty it.
Yeah, it's not only for ourselves to see that we're, you know, purged from those dead works. It's for everybody else. So that every moment is always in the now.
Amen.
And we don't, you know, consider the past in anybody that we see.
Right.
Yeah. We only respond to them in this moment.
Amen.
Instead of, you know, these patterns. And it's a constant repentance.
It's also a constant exhortation to amongst one another within the body.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you're talking about the afterbirth. The Egyptians used to preserve
the
afterbirth of the Pharaoh. And, you know, wherever he'd go, they'd have this little dried out placenta on a pole.
Are you for real?
Around. Yeah, for real.
And it's also preserved in the tombs.
It was supposed to represent, you know, his spirit was the Ka and that was the Ba or something. And it was, you know, that's what we're doing. When we focus all this stuff on, you know, it's like focusing on the afterbirth like it's some big thing. And it's just, you know, Egyptian weirdness.
Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, I thought you said I'm there, and I was going to give you the Brawny Award.
I'm here.
You lost it, Wayne. You had a chance.
Chapter 3. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And this is why it's so important that repentance be constant. Because otherwise you'll be found in him automatically doing something where, well, I'm just going to wait around until God does it.
Well, you start following the traditions of men.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those God forbid things. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? And it's this is really where zeal is. Zeal is at that knife edge. Never, ever, ever crossing back over into the soulish nature. Stay on that knife edge. And it's a biggie. But it's the most exciting place there is in the universe.
But it's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable to all of your little...
No, it's
all right, now the last one. Jude. Everybody's favorite book.
Jude.
Actually, you know what? The word Jude in English is Ronnie.
Who?
Don't take that, Ronnie.
Don't take it personal. You lose a lot of parts.
What? Yeah, this.
Chapter.
They don't have a chapter.
I need you to focus on
that. I am focusing. You're the one that's not. There are no chapters in Jude.
Oh, damn.
Nice try, bonehead.
Damn. I just got served.
You just got served.
Shit. Yeah. Sucks to be me.
What a shame.
Ollie, I think you and Jude would have got along very well. Very brief.
Very brief.
And to the point.
No small talk.
No small talk in Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah.
Hey, Jude!
This is going to continue until he tells us what we're doing.
Verse 11.
You could have read the whole thing.
I think I'll read the chapter in Jude.
In there. Verse 7.
Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment and to convict all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration in order to gain an advantage, is what it says. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now this is an exhortation to every one of you. You have to know what it means to have the garment spotted by the flesh, but you must be those among those that pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But unless you know what that means, that's just some kind of a... Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. All I want you to do, and the reason we've spent this time on shame, is because it is an incredible debt. We're studying in Romans, owe no man anything but to love one another. The problem with shame is it's a debt that you owe to something that's dead, but you're still...
Yeah, it's demanding something at that moment when you're doing the things that, and it's like you don't owe it.
But the hiding of it is what makes it powerful. And that's all it has to do is to be exposed, and then you can hear, who told you were naked? Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back to Romans 15 tomorrow, whenever we meet next, I hope. No, let's go. No, never mind. Zechariah. One more.
I turned right to it.
What? It's not the next to the last book.
It is.
It is?
Oh.
I'm there.
Everybody there? Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua. Now, you know that Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. You know that. So it's just, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Because he was plucked out of the fire, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, "Take away the filthy garment from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Now, the same thing has to be seen. You have to see that you were clothed with a filthy garment. Made up, it was full of spots and blemishes. And now there's the angels around you that want to clothe you in this new raiment, the righteousness of Christ only. But never again be right in your mind. That's then you put on, then the garment is then spotted by the flesh again. You've got some little thing in time and space that you thought was important, and that's why it says when the scripture we first read, expand the tent pegs all the way to the edge, lengthen the cords, That's how you test whether something that you have, some opinion you have, or right thing you're right about, is it has any merit. Because if it doesn't stand the consideration of extending it to the edge, then it has no merit. But every place where you think you're right, it's your own righteousness, and you're spotting the flesh again. Now, what one of the things that causes you to have to try to continue to be right and to be right is the hidden shame. Because you have to do something to compensate for that hidden shame. That hidden shame which says, I don't even have a right to exist. I am a nothing. And that's why then you build up these crazy ideas and thoughts to convince yourself you have some purpose. Am I communicating?
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of the priests who used their soiled garments to...
They're like the wick.
Light the wicks for light for other people. You know, I mean, that's the way it works. And it's just talking about what happened. Like, I freaked out about this the other day, and you say, why? And then that starts the thing
right.
That could eventually go back to, you know, here's why, you know, because... When I was a kid, somebody did that same thing to me. Well, now you found it, and you just, it's like we don't have to respond to that anymore.
Amen.
And it's a part of the conversation.
And that's part of the long-suffering of God. Can everybody accept that prayer? That, Father, open me up.
Amen.
So I'm no longer plagued by these hidden. It's the same. The spots and or there's another analogy somewhere where they're the rocks under the sea that sink the ship. And it's just they take the form, and then you have all these kind of hidden judgments. You think things about some. And the problem is when you have judgments against somebody, you don't say it, and it didn't resolve. Then you respond to that person as though you said it.
I was thinking about spontaneity, and it's impossible for me to be spontaneous, because that goes against my whole thing that I've built up.
Yeah.
For why? You know, well, there's stuff underneath that once you see Christ can come in there too and
right.
You know, transform everything, then you're free.
But all this careful moving, being careful what you say and when you say it and who you say it to, it's just so boring. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.